it. If I said it, I meant it. Bite my tongue for no one. Call me evil or unbelievable.
If I said it, then I meant it. What I said, I meant it.
If I said it, I meant it. There's no way around it.
If I said it, I meant it.
I won't apologize, man. If I said it, I meant it. If I said it, I meant it. If I said it, I meant it. If I said it.
Welcome, everybody, once again to the If I Said It, I Meant It podcast.
Bite my tongue for no one.
I'm Kevin Chio, coming to you, as always, with my good friend,
Richard Vasquez.
And sorry we missed last week.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, brother. It was a hectic week for me.
Hey, you got to take a drink, bro. That's bad luck.
Someone has to keep talking, otherwise the radio station shut us down.
You gotta hear the slurp.
Oh. You know, we're gonna do that. All right, ready? You know, I never do this to anyone.
Yeah.
Right?
While you're looking deep into my eyes.
You never notice that I always wait whenever we do the cheers and everybody's drinking? I mean,
we've only been doing this for like 3 years, so no.
I try and continue the conversation through through everybody else's cheersing, and I usually wait because I sacrifice. For everyone.
You're the best.
You had something last week, or was it just the Dodger game?
So I went to the Dodger game on Tuesday to the game they won.
Yay.
And then Wednesday, Rick had a work golf tournament that I went with him to.
Another one, huh?
Yeah. The last one was mine. And, you know, it wasn't even like I couldn't have made it. I just was tired. We were up late Tuesday night. Then Wednesday, we got back probably like 7. You know what I mean? I could have made it, but to be fair, like I hadn't seen my son.
Yeah.
I was tired. I had to go home and take a shower. It was just to come back out and do the podcast.
You'd have probably laid down and just gone like, nah, I'm home. Yeah, I'm home now.
And I know it's just golf. It's not like, you know, fucking working out or, you know, putting in a 5-mile run or anything like that. But it's just exhausting being in the sun.
It really fucking is. Even if you're just standing or sitting in the sun, it's so draining that I totally get it. And people are like, oh, I was at the park all day. Oh, fuck that. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, even that, what was it, Saturday that you went to Scarlett's game and you saw Elias's game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even that day was a lot. And we had a canopy. And
yeah, and I left it like 2.
Yeah, I left like an hour after you, so it wasn't like I was there much later.
I didn't realize how many people I knew at at the park. It was just like, oh, okay, this game's going on. These people are here. These people, like, oh, my God. I'm just going to go say hi to everyone, talk with everyone for 5-10 minutes each, and then I'm out. But it still ended up being an extra 2-3 hours.
Well, it's funny that you say that. So we ended up, shacking up at Damien's tent. What? You laughing at shacking up?
Don't know if you want to use that term.
Why
but
not?
Because shacking up is when you are fucking someone.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it meant like...
living with them and fucking them.
Oh, really?
It's like, yeah.
Well, like I said, I was shacking up at Damien's tent. And, you know, Damien and Adriana were there.
Oh, well.
So Adriana was talking with Raquel, and the kids were there, and we were watching the games. And then Adriana left, right? And she was like, I got to use the restroom. We were there for a little longer. We saw Patty, said hi to Patty.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were like, all right, the game's over or it's about to be over. We already have been here all day. Let's go. So we pack up our stuff. We say bye to Damien, whoever else was in his tent. And we start to take off. And as we're coming around the corner, you know, to go, to Salazar or whatever that.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It used to be called Mellor before, but anyway.
It's not Salazar now, is it?
It's Salazar now.
Really? They moved it from across the street?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we're coming around the corner, and we see Adriana right there, and we're like, hey, what's going on? We're going to be leaving. Da, da, da. She's like, oh, I haven't made it to the restroom yet. And she had been, I guess, working her way down, but had been stopped by multiple people. Like you said, it was a damn fucking high school reunion, so.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So Raquel just joined. Raquel, let us know how we sound. We're still kind of, we're new at this. Half a dozen years later. It was a couple of weeks ago.
About a week ago.
I rolled up to RJ's practice with my wagon. I call it a utility cart. It's a wagon. Pulled out my chairs, put them out, got my backpack set up where I could put my feet up, watch the practice. Yvette got cold, so I pulled out the heater, had that set up. It had the water bottle, had everything, and I realized, yeah, I'm a park dad. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't realize when I evolved into it.
Day one of practice.
Nah, you think so?
Well, you didn't evolve, but that was the start of the evolution.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't the day where you became full, you know, park dad, but you did exactly what I'm sure mentally, what I did mentally when we started going to Drew's baseball games. I looked at Raquel and said, if we're going to be doing this, I want to be as comfortable as possible.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So we started off small. We already had chairs. My mom got us, she actually got us the first wagon that we had, our utility
cart.
Yeah. But it was too small for where we're at now. Okay.
Yeah.
And she got us this little like umbrella, which worked fine for us at the baseball games, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But there's more trees at that park.
Yeah.
Than there are on the soccer field. You know what I mean? So now
field determines what you need to bring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, fast forward to Scarlett now playing soccer. That's another part of the evolution, which was like, okay, like again, if we're going to do this, I want to be comfortable.
Yep.
Raquel does everything in her power to make sure that we have snacks.
Great sandwiches, food. By the way. They're so fucking simple, but it was like, yep, this is awesome.
But it's money, right? Like she does everything that we should do. Like I don't want to bring a pizza. I mean, we've done it, but like just having like chips and fucking, you know, fruit and this and that and whatever, like
just a stack of cold cuts, some slices of cheese and the King's rolls. Make a sandwich.
We were going to be there all day. That's fine. Maybe this week she may not go full throttle on that because it's only going to be her and I and then Drew and Scar will be there, but Scar will be playing and Drew will be coming with his dad.
Right.
And then we'll take him home from there. But like she'll still have snacks and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like,
definitely
we were there all day, so we didn't want to leave and go get food. We didn't want to, you know, call an Uber or something or Uber Eats to get like something to eat or whatever. Like, it just made sense.
Yeah.
She hooks it up, so.
I completely agree. One of the things that, for me, I think exactly like you do. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to be comfortable. So
yeah, you have to be.
For Yvette, because while it may not appear like I care about her comfort, or it may not seem like I care, or I may not really give a shit, I know she's antsy. So I got her the chair.
Antsy in the pantsy?
I got her the chairs that Sonia had with the rockers. But
I didn't like those.
You didn't?
I'm not a fan of them.
Why?
I felt like you needed to rock to be comfortable versus me just sitting there.
I can agree with that. I can see where that comes from. Because if you just sit in it, it sits weird.
It sits high.
But if you lean back, it's super comfortable. One of the cool things about where RJ practices, where we go three fucking times a week, is we sit right up against the chain link fence. So if you put your feet up on the chain link fence, it leans you back and you're kind of in a...
Oh, so you're looking through the fence.
Looking through the fence. Gotcha. So you're kind of like reclined. So it's money in that situation.
They're nice chairs. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. There was parts of it where I was like...
It also comes in handy when the ground isn't even. Like if you're on a slight hill, it compensates.
They're sturdier chairs though too.
They really are.
I mean, let me tell you a funny story. So I we went to a practice.
I know you broke one, but
yeah, yeah, we went to a practice and we brought the baby, and as most of you that have kids know, a 1-year-old is not trying to fucking sit down and watch a practice.
Yeah.
He wants to run everywhere and anywhere he can. So we do this thing where it's like, I'll watch it for 15 minutes. She watches it for 15 minutes. We'll make Drew watch it for 15 minutes. And we just, our thing is, all right, tag, you're in, right? Well, I don't know.
You run a man defense.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, so right. I was already sitting down because I was on fucking break, and Raquel had came back. She put him down, and he was like at the utility cart looking at whatever. So nobody was really technically watching him. He was just kind of like in the middle. We all had our eyes on him, but he was just like in the middle. And then, you know, like fucking any kid, squirrel, takes off. Well, I realize in the corner of my eye, I see him running, and I don't see anybody behind him. So I put all my weight, and you got to understand, these are those big lots,
the
$7
cheap ones.
Yeah. Fucking chairs, right? Yeah. I put all my weight to get myself up out of that chair as quickly as I can to get him, because they're practicing. They're practicing
yes.
soccer right there. You
yes.
know what I mean? I don't get kicked by a kid, let alone a ball, you know? And one of those little handles just fucking snapped.
The snap surprises me. I thought you would tear through the nylon.
No, it basically bent like a...
Okay, I see.
Like a straw.
Yeah.
Like a straw. You know, it bent and
like
then...
Like a candy
and then,
cane.
Yeah, and then eventually when I try to fix it, it snapped because, you know, it won't bend back, basically.
So one of the things that is nice about Yvette's rocker chair is it...
Not rocking chair.
Rocker.
It's not old.
Rocker.
The rocking chair would be for you.
It has a shade that comes over.
Oh, that's cool.
Because where RJ practices, there's no fucking shade. So, again, we're going to be comfortable as we possibly fucking can be. So, that's her chair. I get antsy, like Ezra. I want to run. I want to do stuff.
I'm a gazelle.
And I'm a little bit... I'm not going to say I'm tall, but I'm a taller man.
Well, you're a taller Asian for sure.
Definitely. That was pretty good. I don't think you spilled one drop. I thought you were going to pour whiskey
all over
yourself. Thought you were. So, and the other thing is...
I can't even pee that good.
With football sucks at eye level.
It really does, honestly. It was hard for me to watch when I went to RJ's game. It was hard.
It sucks.
I mean, plus I had a kid running around.
Yeah.
But it was. It's difficult because you can't see if they made the first down, how many yards they actually got.
It sucks at eye level. So I got a captain-style chair that's maybe 6 inches higher than – well, it's probably about a foot higher than the fold-out chairs, the cheap flimsy ones.
Yeah, you get like
ones.
A director's chair.
It's kind of like that. It sits really about – I have to kind of hop up into it. My feet can touch the ground still, but it's higher up. So I get a better view of practice.
Okay.
And then I have the sunshade that comes over. I have a little umbrella type thing that's connected to the chair itself. Again, I'm out there every practice. It's hot. It was during the summertime. I don't pull the...
Now it's just humid.
Now it's humid, and the sun's going down, so it's not as bad now, but I don't use it. But during the summer, it was fucking money.
How are the lights at the park?
They're good when they turn them on. It sucks because there's only lights on the far side. So the light comes into your eyes, so I have to... I should just wear a hat. But I end up standing up, and I put my hands on the chain link, and I have to give myself like a hat brim to see clearly.
On.
Yeah. But it got cold a couple weeks ago, so I have the little propane heater. I turn that on, keep it warm for... It was Yvette at first, then it's Yvette, my ex-wife, the RJ's friend's mom, And then some random stranger who was always there. All four of those girls were huddled up around the heater at one point. So it's like, okay, that came in handy.
I mean, that's cool that you still keep your current girl, your ex-girl, and new girls warm on a regular basis.
I trying to explain to some of the other parents, like, the tall one, that's my wife. The shorter one, that's my ex-wife.
Was my wife.
The other one
is my future wife.
I just take care of her kid. In fact, I gotta pick him up and take him to practice tomorrow, so his real dad can pick him up from practice. But explaining that to the other parents there, they just go, "Oh, okay, the connection." So I know they've been wondering what the fuck is going on with that group. But yeah, so. I'm with you. I ended up breaking down. I bought the wagon.
The one that we got?
No, not yours. Okay. I got a simpler one. But I also don't have three kids.
Yeah.
I don't have a baby. So it's easier for me.
Because everything you're carrying can fit in that, where we need to have that extra room for the kid.
Even an Easy Up. I'll put the Easy Up in there. Two chairs, my backpack, you know, camera gear, all of that. It's heavy, but it all fits.
Can you modify and put bigger tires on it?
Let me tell you what I'm going to work on in the off season.
Okay, because I need to get bigger tires on my bitch.
You like, can. Bro. You can. I'm going to look into just a little electric motor. Not one where it'll run on its own, but one that'll just help you as you pull it. I think I have an idea of what I'm going to do.
Why don't you look at the kind of motors they have on those ice chests that...
I've got some ideas. Once season's over, I'm going to start working on that.
Well, I plan on buying Ezra a motorized car for Christmas. You have my permission to look under the hood and see what kind of motor's in there?
I will. So there are certain, like, shopping carts where the motor's on. But unless you give it a push,
it won't go.
It won't go just because the motor doesn't run that powerful. But once you give it a push, it's almost like a self-propelled lawnmower. There are times where that wheel won't turn, but the minute you start pushing the lawnmower, it takes off. So My mind's working. But yes. Depending, I'd have to look at your utility cart to see, because when you say bigger wheels, is there a metal bracket that comes over both sides?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because then you can only go so wide on the tire. But if you have the room, you probably should go inflated tire. They make a big difference on grass. I was hesitant to buy a wagon because I didn't want to be that dad.
Dude, it's so fucking money, dude. Like, you carry everything. You don't have to make multiple trips. Like,
100 fucking percent. I drug my feet. You know what it is? Though I haven't taken this step. You know it. I know it. We should both get the fucking sleep apnea masks.
Oh, yeah. I need one.
But we won't. That's how I felt about the wagon.
Well,
Dick.
I feel like it's a little different just because the sleep apnea mask, like, you're going to be like sleeping like Darth Vader next to, like, you know, your significant other.
Uh-huh.
Where you're just rolling up to a park where there's like 15 other families that are, or probably more than that, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, rolling up in that with the same fucking shit.
Yes. But to that point. You still haven't gotten the Darth Vader mask, but you did get a cart. So there, it's a give and take on both sides. One is a little more lame.
I'm okay with...
But you also took a step to be a little bit more lame, but you're not willing to take the big step. But it is a big step.
But I don't see it being lame. I see it being productive.
Oh, the mask is saving your fucking life.
Well, I mean, you know, I can lose weight. I just
There was a comedian... her name is Michelle Wolf. She's a lot funnier than I expected, though I can see people who
go... Why, because she's a woman?
No, her voice. she's got a kind of a whiny voice, and some people don't like the whiny voice, and I can appreciate that, but she said, men are so stupid, even their lungs, their brain forgets to breathe at night. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. A couple weeks ago.
That was a sleep apnea joke, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
If anybody didn't get it.
Yeah, probably not. I didn't deliver it well. Sorry. Sorry, Michelle. A couple weeks ago, I went to Scarlett's game. I didn't really see what you were talking about as far as not playing aggressive on her part. But I also think that she played aggressive because Marco was there. I keep doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe it's in a different spot. I think because Marco was there, maybe because I was there, there was more attention, so she stepped up a little bit. But it was definitely, I really got into her game. And I've been kind of mildly preaching the entertainment value of soccer to you. And Marco,
he already loves it.
Yeah, I would say he's the Jim Jones, the David Koresh of soccer. Like, he's cultish.
Are you talking about Jim Jones, the rapper?
No, the guy who took a bunch of people and made them all drink the Kool-Aid and killed couple hundred, maybe 1,000 people.
David Koresh is the guy from Waco.
Yeah. I was trying to get one more, but I couldn't.
What about that guy, the fucking cult leader, the killer, Richard Ramirez? Or no. The crazy, fuck, anyway, it doesn't matter. He had like all those girls kill for him.
Oh, Charles Manson.
Charles Manson, there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, you fucking went David Koresh. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He was sleeping with all the women that was in his.
Yeah, see.
Well, not family, but his cult or whatever.
Charles Manson was more of a CIA experiment. He was.
I mean, I believe you. It's just funny. Like,
he was being given LSD from a CIA-run Haight-Ashbury clinic. He was killing people, and they were letting him out of jail, like, regularly, because I think they wanted to watch
what he did.
Yeah, he was an experiment. Anyway, speaking of crazy people who are kind of experiments.
Coltrane just joined.
Okay. Not him.
I thought you were going with this.
No. Marco. Marco came to RJ's football game on Sunday, and I'll say RJ played a fucking shit ton better on Sunday than he did when you went.
I don't think he did bad.
Okay.
I don't think he was given the opportunity. Yeah. But I think that when he was in there, he did fine.
Let me go to Scar. She needs just next year. Next year she's going to be fucking good.
Yeah, she needs practice.
She needs one more year. But I can already see what you've been talking about, where there's something there. There's like the foundation of a good soccer player. They tied? I think they tied, right?
Yeah, so let me explain the situation. So they played that same exact team on a scrimmage before the season started. And they lost like 8-2 or whatever it was, right? And then they played them again for the first game of the season, and they lost 6-2. It was they got dominated, right?
Yeah.
So then, you know, they lost the next game, they tied, and they played them again in the fourth. There's only four teams in the league, so they're gonna play them a couple times,
right?
And for whatever reason, Scarlett likes to play defense. I think, she hasn't said anything, is she doesn't want to play offense because I don't think she feels confident dribbling.
Mm, okay.
and passing like the other girls. You know, the if you watch the other girls on the other team, they're proficient at that, right?
On the other team.
Yeah, on the other team. Not on our team.
Yes.
Okay.
The other team seemed like it had a lot better quality players.
Yes. One, yeah, Marco had said that a couple of those girls, like four or five of them, play on club teams. So, like, they travel and stuff, right? They only play in AYSO to sharpen their tool, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, anyway, because she was playing defense, and I think, and I don't know if she's necessarily the fastest, but she is definitely one of the fastest girls in the league, okay?
For the defensive unit that their coach put out there, there were three girls that were regularly playing defense. Yeah, Scarlett was definitely the fastest defensive player.
She was faster.
Without a joke.
She was faster than the girls that were playing offense, too.
And I would agree with that
because
also.
Because there was plenty of girls that – what happened – okay, so let me explain the situation. The offense – or their Scarlett's offense would have the ball on – the other side, and they would be trying to score or whatever, and then the defense of the team would kick it over the whole team's, you know, head or whatever.
Yeah.
So then their offensive players started attacking Scarlett's team. She retreats, but the ball went over her head, Scarlett's head, and the other team's striker or forward or whatever the fucking position is started taking off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, fuck. They're going to have one-on-one with the goalie. Like,
yes.
They're going to score.
Yes.
Scarlett caught up to that little girl and fucking got to her and kicked it out and saved at least five or six goals.
I wish their coach would use a little bit more. And maybe it's just at the level they are, but I felt like Scarlett could have cleared the ball back up, but relied on kicking it out a lot.
And I think a lot of that is inexperience.
Yeah.
So I think she gets nervous. And this is why I think defense is more of her alley right now, because it's more reactionary.
There's an out also. Just kick it out.
Just kick it out and then you reset and
what's happening now?
And then you just cover a player and go from there, right?
Right.
So, and that's fine, but the coaches, I was talking to one of the coaches and he's like, Scarlett's really good. She's one of our best players. Like, we want her on offense, but she wants to play defense. But we want her to play offense because she is fast. And she, you know. And I was like, you need to build the confidence in her. This is her first year.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, he goes, this is her first year? And I said, she's never played before. So, like, you need to build that confidence in her because she's not going to listen to me.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about soccer. You know, I tried talking to her, but she doesn't dismiss me. I won't say that, but she definitely doesn't take me as serious as if Marco were to say it or one of the coaches.
Yeah, there's weighted answers with her.
Yeah.
Like, Marco's answer is weighted a 5. Coach's answer is weighted a 4.
Mine is like a 1.
1.
And that's okay. And I you know what's funny is I didn't want to be – I'm going to say parent even though I'm not her parent, but I didn't want to be that parent that was talking to the coaches about what they should do or, you know, I just wanted to be there to support, but I get it. Like you said, I get into it and I want her to do well. You know what I mean? So I was talking to the coach during the same exact conversation and I was like, look, I don't want to be that parent and I'm sorry. I'm not even really complaining. I'm just throwing a suggestion out there. From afar, it feels like the girls don't know the rules.
Hmm.
And I would love for you guys to explain that because there have been plenty of situations where we've been called, they're not penalties, but like, so like if a ball gets kicked out, the girls have to have 2 feet on the ground when they throw it over their head, right?
Uh-huh.
There were multiple situations through the first 3 games where they didn't.
Right.
I can only blame a coach for that. When I say blame, I mean like,
hey,
that's a coaching error, right? Let's talk to the girls about that.
Did you practice throwing the ball in at any point?
I don't think they did.
Oh.
I'll give you an example, too. When the game starts, one team starts with the ball on offense, I guess.
And they kick it back.
And they kick it back, right?
Yeah.
Well, every other team kicks it back. You know what our team did?
Kicked it forward?
They kicked it forward.
Okay.
Little things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. It's like in basketball, you usually tip it backwards. Why? Because my team's on this side.
Exactly.
Right?
You don't tip it forward.
There's nobody over there.
One of the things that I told Scarlett after the first scrimmage was, look, Scar, I don't know soccer. I'm not going to pretend to know soccer. But you know what I do know? I know basketball. And one of the first things that they teach you in basketball, I shouldn't say that. One of the things they do teach you in basketball is when you're on a fast break and there's one defender, okay?
Yeah.
There's two offensive players and one defender. The person with the ball, their job is to make the defender commit, okay? If it commits to them, they pass the ball, the other person has the easy score. Mm-hmm. If they stay in the middle, they shoot the ball themselves. That's their job. You need to figure that out with your teammates. So if you guys are on a fast break or whatever it's called,
yes,
and there's one defender and the goalie, you need to make that defender commit.
Make sure that,
and then you pass it.
Just make sure that they don't go on the behind the defender.
That, again, I don't know the rules of that. That's a coach, but
yeah.
But logically thinking, if they're in a situation where there's two of them, mm-hmm, and there's one defender,
yes,
you got to make the defender commit.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
Just what I'm getting at.
Well, the only reason I say that is because instinctually a kid wants to run straight to the goal, because we all did this when we were like six. You stand next to the goal and you're like, pass it, pass it. And then they kick it past the defender and you just tap it in. You can't do that. The defender has to be in between you and the goal. So just, again, one of those things you – just remember it, and if you're ever practicing with her or she's practicing, that's one of those things like keeping both feet on your ground. Just, hey, by the way, did you know this? So if she's on a fast break, let's say the microphone is the defender, she can't just run past the defender and have her offensive player kick her the ball and go into the goal. They have to kind of stay even and make that defender commit.
That's really what I was getting at, though.
Yeah, yes. Just, I'm giving you that nugget of keep both feet on the ground when you throw the ball. When you throw the ball in, follow the ball, right?
That's what they keep saying. Follow the ball.
You throw it in, and the minute you let go, you're running with the ball.
But these are all things that, like I said, I wasn't trying to be that parent. And when I brought it up to the coach, he was like, I appreciate that. Like, we only get 2 days with the girls.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing our best. Like, I promise you. And I told him, I was like, look, I know you're volunteering your time. Like, yes. I'm not trying to be that, you know.
I'm
like,
not getting my money's worth. Well, yeah, you know what? Fine. Go play at the park for free.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but you know what? Regardless, like, she already wants to, like, start up again. And I was talking to Marco actually yesterday about this. I texted him, like, hey, Scarlett wants to start up right away. Like, I don't want to have a big lag time in between. What are our options, right? And I know we're going into the holiday season, so I know for November, December, it's going to be probably like dead season, you know what I mean? Because really, it's only football.
But that's not – that might be a good time for her to practice.
I'm not talking about – I'm talking about like a league. That's what I'm getting at.
But – and I get what you're saying, but it may not be a bad time to get some cones, a ladder – and work on her dribbling in and out of the cones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just, again, Marco's really good. And I'll never say this to his face, but he's really good at teaching those little things about soccer. I felt more comfortable playing soccer, about kicking, where to kick with your foot, to use the top of your foot, that bone that runs from, you know, your ankle to, like, your big
your
toe.
Metatarsal?
I'm
just kidding. I don't know what it's called.
How to kick. The 45-degree angle to pull back. And it was like, okay, I felt better. My kicking of a soccer ball improved.
Yeah, one of the things I want her to work on, just, again, from afar, is how to create power in a kick with one-step motion. Like,
yeah,
just one step.
Where you snap your knee through it. And yes.
I'm not talking about kicking it like a goal kick, but like, kicking it out. Like, if you're going to play defense, she needs to learn that. She needs to learn how to get the ball back on the offensive side.
Where she plants her left foot.
And just kicks.
Comes back through with her right and just clears it back.
Because one of the first or second games that we were there, the other team was on offense the whole time. Like, there was, like, if there was, what is it called?
Time of possession.
Time of possession in football. It was 3-1.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Eventually, the other team's going to score. They're on the other fucking side the whole time.
And it's just because every time you got it on offense, instead of kicking it out, they kicked it back up to midfield.
Mm-hmm. She hit a good corner kick, dude. In the last game, Scarlett. She didn't make it, but she hit a corner kick where it, like, curved, and it went towards the goal. They missed it, but this is why I say, like, I know she's good, because she was on defense, and they had a corner kick situation, and they made her go kick the corner kick.
Yeah. From defense. She went from defense all the way to offense to make one kick.
And then had to run
all the way back. Yeah. Yeah, I think – so, like, you were talking with Marco about what league can she join just to keep the momentum going, and I totally get that. But, like I said, may not be a bad idea to get 5 drills.
And we already have the cones, so it's just a matter of doing them.
What's the drill? What do we have to do? You know, and Marco would be good at that is, okay, have him dribble in and out with 1 foot, whatever it is, okay? And over the next couple of months, just work on that. Like those 5 drills, better and better and better at them. Like at the draft, all the, you know, Twinkie, Boise, Damien, everybody was like, hey, here are some drills that we use with our kids. So in the off season, here's what RJ can work on. And I've got him in my, you know, it's like, all right, I got him. Like when the off season comes, that's what we're doing.
So he's all about playing next year?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Same league? Our same team?
I would, even though I'm not, I think that, though the Don's team at RJ's level is doing worse than he is, but I see a lot of, like Sharks, actually, I think it's Boise's uncle, but I call him Sharks uncle, at Rosemead. I see the organization. I see the, like, just the fundamental coaching aspect of it. And we beat Rosemead on our level. He coaches the younger level. And they stomped on the
I mean, talent's a real thing, too, though. Let's be
honest. It is. But I like the idea of, you know, what's going to save time? When I was talking with Angel, he was like, yeah, we don't stretch. There's no point in having a kid sit on his butt for 45 seconds to a minute to stretch his, you know, his groin out when we can have him just do jumping jacks that do the same thing. And he's done in 10 seconds. And that's like my dad. My dad actually came into town, watched RJ practice, and he was like, I don't know why they're stretching. At his age, he doesn't need to stretch.
Yeah, they don't pull a hamstring or anything.
Right? And so...
They're not running at fucking rocket speed.
Yeah, definitely. And not my son. Jesus Christ, he's slow. He gets his speed from me. I'm fucking slow. But, you know, like you were saying, you don't want to be the dad that criticizes a volunteer coach. So my dad was coaching football, and one of the parents came up and he was like, well, you're not playing my son enough. And my dad said, your son's not that good. And he's like, well, if he's not that good, then what are you guys doing at practice? My dad said, I get an hour and a half, 5 times a week with him at practice. When he leaves practice, do you throw the ball with him? Does he run routes at home? What effort have you done with him? Because I've got 30 kids for an hour and a half.
You have one kid for the rest of your
life. One kid every day. And it was like, well.
That's some Asian wisdom right there, bro.
Dude, it got deep, right?
No bullshit.
I go, Dad, if that ever comes up again, I go, here's what I told the coaches. When I, you know, I was like, hey, look. Your job is to coach. My job's to teach. I'll teach him football. You take what I teach, you take it, whatever talent is there, and you coach it up. But if he's not meeting expectation, you let me know, and I'll teach him how to get there. Then you coach him up. So it's like, I'm a coach, not a teacher. I'll coach, you teach. And I tell the teachers that too. Whenever I meet with a new teacher of RJ's, I'll tell him, hey, my job is to teach him. You're the teacher, but my job's to teach him. Your job is to help me teach him. Because 6 years from now, he's not going to know what a active verb is. Because it's not going to fucking matter. But what will help him for the rest of his life is how to evaluate each situation and make the best decision. That's my job to teach him. You don't have that class. You don't have a critical thinking in elementary school or junior high. I have to teach him that. So you help me. Because at the end of the day, once he's out of your class, you're not fucking responsible for him. You don't get the tax break. You're not responsible if he crashes the car or kills somebody or whatever. I am. Some teachers have liked that speech.
Others haven't.
Others have not.
Because they want to feel fucking authority, and they want to feel like they're in charge, when in fact they're only in charge for an hour and a half a day, depending on what class he's in with them.
7 months out of the year. Yeah, no, and I think there's always ways. I think a lot of coaches get into a rhythm, they get into a pattern for their life, and it's like, hey, there are new ideas coming out. You know, I know you didn't play football, but the first like 45 minutes of football used to be, all right, everybody jumping jacks, right? And you spell out like Dons or El Rancho or whatever. All right, right over left. And you're leaning forward, you're stretching. All right, left over right. You're leaning forward, whatever. You're going through all of these. And you don't need to. Like the evolution of science and sports and medicine, and it's like, all right, just do some jumping jacks. Like, stretch. A lot of coaches are stretching at the end of practice.
I thought that was interesting. That helps with soreness.
But again, I don't know if wrestling did it. Football never did stretching.
Yeah, well, we stretched. A little stretch at the end. Like, because you knew you were going to be sore.
Okay.
Yeah.
We never really stretched at the end. My dad came to, like I said, RJ's practice, and he's looking, and he goes, do you know what any of these plays are? Because my dad is me, just older. I was like, yeah, they run like the 33 power, 30, you know. He goes, Jesus Christ, these are the same plays I ran when I was in high school. He's looking, he goes, I can tell you exactly what each play is, because you remember it's the same offense. And I get that. Fundamental running offenses don't change, right?
There's only so many gaps, and there's only so many positions they can pull. And you're not going to pull a center at fucking 11 years old. You know what I mean? Like,
some teams do.
A center?
I think, yeah. I'd have to go back. I think Montebello did.
Huh, interesting.
Might have been. I mean, again, when you're sitting ground level, it's hard to tell. But, yeah, Montebello was pulling linemen.
No, pulling linemen's fine.
But I don't know.
Centers is like next level bullshit, dude. Like, I'm talking about, that's like Jeff Saturday, like all pro kind of, like, not every center pulls it in the fucking NFL. That's what I'm getting at.
No, maybe you're right. I'd have to go back and watch film, but I know there are teams I thought they pulled. And also might
real
have
quick, shout out to Anthony, my cousin Anthony. It's his birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday.
I saw him right here at Rite Aid.
Oh, did you?
Picking up ice, yeah. He was all hungover.
Oh.
Good for him.
Hope his daughter's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd have to go back and look. It might have been just a zone blocking scheme, too, like where they just slid right. I'd have to go back, but I felt like watching the line. And I've explained this to RJ's mom, to Yvette, and to my other son's mom. All you got to do is watch the five guys up front. They'll tell you exactly what's going on with the play. Once you kind of get an idea of, hey, they all took a couple of steps back and they're blocking.
It's a pass.
It's a pass, right? Could be a draw. But at that point, look at the quarterback. If they're all moving forward, which way are they moving? Like, you look at some are going to go right, and then the majority are going to go left. You know that's where the play is going. And Yvette appreciates it. I know she's, like, tired of watching game film. Like, I'll stop the Raider game, and I'll be like, back that play up. Watch the left tackle. Watch the left guard.
Watch them get blown up and a fucking sack come in. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
I mean.
Hey, it's not like the fucking Packers are doing great this year.
We're fucking horrible. I was trying to compliment you, but okay.
We're like 1-5 or whatever it is.
No, but I mean, it doesn't matter what your record is. There's that play where you go, oh, back up, back up. Watch the left tackle. Or no, like let's say the left guard. On the snap of the ball, he's coming around and he's running to the right and he's going to kill whatever defensive back is there. And when it's run, it's a thing of beauty. It's so...
I get excited watching linemen do shed blocking.
Oh.
So they start on one person and then they know like to go to that second level.
Yes.
And fucking make that second block. That's always interesting.
RJ's gotten pretty good with that. But I think it's because he doesn't have a playbook, so he doesn't really know who to block on each play. So he'll come up and he'll check the defensive tackle.
If there's somebody in front of him, it blocks him. If not,
you would think, but it doesn't always work that way. Because it's usually if there's somebody to the inside, you crack down. And yeah, if there's somebody in front of you, obviously, you're going to block them too. But there's times where he'll help out the center. And he'll give like a one-arm shove to the defensive tackle. And he'll shove him over so the center kind of has him. And then he realizes like, all right, I'm not helping. And then he runs over and tries to get a linebacker. It's, yeah. I sent this to everybody and I was very, very, to be honest, watching the game film from the week from the Sunday before, there's no fucking way he deserved the award that he got. But I honestly, watching the film, I don't know any lineman who did well. So I think it was like a lifetime achievement award. So RJ got lineman of the week. They do 4 awards to the team. There's play of the week, offensive player of the week, defensive player of the week, hit of the week. The boys got their asses handed to them by Montebello. It was bad. But they all got their asses handed to them. I think they gave it to RJ because the kid played tackle. The kid played guard on offense. On defense, the kid played nose tackle, defensive tackle. He played kickoff, he played punt, both ways, receiving and kicking off, punting and receiving. He's also just been the kid that tries. He tries every fucking play, every single time. That week, their center got hurt. Like first or second play of the game, center gets hurt. They go to their backup center. He does okay. But I told RJ, you're pretty good at a shotgun snap. Like, you're pretty good at it. Go tell the coaches, hey, can I get a couple of tries at center in case you need a backup center? We don't have a backup center. Like, take one thing off the coach's mind. Fuck, our starting center got hurt. We're using the second string. What happens if the second string center gets hurt and we don't have somebody? So he went out there. He told the coach, hey, can I try this? So they pulled RJ and they made the whole team stand while he snapped the ball.
And they watched it?
Everybody watched. I fucking couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe.
You were nervous?
Oh, doesn't begin. I've never had a panic attack like that where I had trouble breathing. All right. Quarterback comes under center, not a big deal, right? It's pretty basic at that point. Get the ball up into the center, take a step, take a hit. Okay. Did okay. No problem. It was the shotgun. The problem with our second string center is that sometimes it's high, sometimes it rolls on the grass, sometimes it's to the right. Most of the time he's okay. But if he shotgun snaps 20 times, 3 will be bad, which kills you.
Yeah, because it could be a turnover.
So I'm watching RJ. The whole team's fucking watching RJ. 4 coaches, 30 kids.
On the sideline.
Just in the middle of the goddamn field during practice. All the parents. It's like, oh, God, just be good. Be good on your first one. Second one could be bad, but just get the first one.
So they
could
be like,
one.
Okay, if we need to go to him.
If he gets the first one, you go, okay, give me another one. Okay, third one, oh, that wasn't great. Oh, well. It was a good try, if nothing else. If he goes out there and he fucks up the first one, it's like, why are you wasting practice?
Go run a lab. You wasted my time.
Right? So I can't breathe. Lines up perfect right into the quarterback's chest. Just a little slow. It's not the fastest snap. It's a little slow. Does it again right into the quarterback's chest. A little slow. That's his problem, is when he snaps, it's a slow snap. But it's accurate.
Yeah, but you could teach that. I mean, that you can work with that.
Right? And I told him, there's something there. Like I said about Scarlett, there's something there. You could build on it. And I told him, I told RJ, hey, you just took a little bit of stress off your coaches. Because if they have to, let's say the kid doesn't make the game. All right, put RJ in. Let him be center.
Do they call him RJ?
They call him Wallace. Because of William Wallace, because when he first started, he had his long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, dude, you took one of the stressful things of a coach and said, hey, if the shit hits the fan, at least we have a center. Because the play kind of fucking starts with the center. And they told him, you're neck and neck with the second string, which is now the first. You guys are all basically the same. Like, the guy who's starting now is a little wild, but his snaps are fast. And he can block really well after he snaps the ball. RJ's a little slow. It's like a
with
slow
a delivery,
toss.
Yeah, with a delivery, yeah.
Okay. But I said, at least coaches know if something happens, they could put you in.
Well,
there.
You would hope they started working with him right there and then.
They gave him a few reps. Yeah, they started, but he hasn't gone back to it since. And so, whatever. Like, hey, if something happens and they have to put him in and he doesn't play great, y'all know why. Like, you didn't work with him at all.
Yeah.
But what I think they would do is just not have him shotgun snap it. Just snap it and go. But
even then, that's a...
It's actually easier probably to shotgun snap.
That's an art.
Toss it and...
Yeah, that's an art.
It is what it is. You know, then you... A good coach would then adjust. Hey, right tackle, left tackle. Or right guard, left guard. You got to help RJ each time. Whatever it is, right?
You should probably teach him how to be a long snapper.
I've already gone over this with him.
You don't want to do it?
I showed him the... Was it the Monday night game? I go, look at the long snapper. There's no one lined up over him. The referee's telling
everybody, do not hit him.
Do not hit him. And the defensive player turns around and is looking at the ref and is like, what? What? And he goes to the guy that was lined up in the gap, slaps him on the butt, makes him move over. I go, look. No one's lined up on him. As long as he doesn't hit somebody, you can't hit him. And he's making $400K a year to do that.
I don't know if this person got a scholarship, but my cousin Erica, her friend Samantha.
Yeah, she's a long snapper?
Her brother, he went to college and was a long snapper. I don't know if it was a full ride. I don't know. Regardless, he played college ball.
And that's what he did.
And all he did was long snapped. He fucking
went to practice
six times a game, you know, like.
Probably more than that because it's punt. And so maybe.
Punt and extra points.
Extra
and
points.
Field goals.
Field goals.
Whatever, you know, 15 you know, times a game, whatever it is.
You go to practice for 45 minutes. You and the punter become best friends.
Yeah, because of you're either hiking it to the.
It's usually always the punter now.
Yeah, to the punter, and he's the one that's holding the ball.
Holding for kicks or on punts, you're obviously snapping to the punter. So you guys become best friends, like our friend, AJ Cole, who he works with the long snapper all day long. It's a good fucking job to have.
Yeah.
Like, just be good at it. You got to throw as fast as a quarterback, though.
And accurate.
The nice thing is you only have two targets, about a foot off the ground and about 4 feet off the ground. That's it. To digress, RJ got lineman of the week. The coaches gave him the award.
That's good, man. I mean, regardless whether it was a lifetime, I mean, who cares?
He earned it. Kid never missed a game. Kid never missed a practice. Kid never missed an off-season conditioning. Kid's never been late to a game. Kid's never been late to a practice. Kid was never late to an off-season conditioning. He's been there more than any of the coaches have been there. He had a goal. When he realized that these awards were given out and they gave you a sticker on your helmet. Now, the fucking sticker is red and their helmets are red, so you can't even see the goddamn sticker.
That's smart.
Yeah. But he wanted one.
They couldn't make it yellow?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I was like, Jesus Christ, you can't see the fucking sticker. But he wanted one. I said, okay.
Earn it.
You might not get it. I honestly did not think he would fucking get it. They give him a route. They give the awards out on Thursday at end of practice. So we're, you know, his mom's there. Yvette's there. And the two girls all of a sudden are like pumped. Oh, my God. They said RJ. They said Wallace. I go, what the fuck is going on? They're like, something's happening. And sure enough, they pulled RJ up in front of the team. Everybody's clapping for him. They're cheering for him. And that's when we were like, we don't know what's going on. We didn't know if he was going to be captain for the next game or what was the deal, but he got his sticker and everything. They gave him the award. They took his picture. He looks stupid in his picture. But it's just like, fuck. I'm proud of you.
You should be. That's awesome,
man. I'm proud of you.
Especially because he's come a long way and he's had some adversity. Like, I mean, we talked about this on the podcast. Like, he was a little upset that, you know, other kids were getting playing time over him and he had been putting in the work.
And it's
very possible that the coaches felt more comfortable with the other kids because they had worked with them in prior years. We don't know what the situation was, right? But I feel like these are great life lessons for him. Like, dude, just because and that's what I told Scarlett when she started playing soccer. Just because someone's better than you today doesn't mean they're going to be better than you tomorrow. Now, that tomorrow may be a year from now or 5 years from now. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, LeBron James was the number two rated kid his senior year. Like, there was, or junior or whatever it was. There was somebody that was quote-unquote better than him. Like, in the nation and as a high schooler. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even think the kid ever made it to the fucking NBA.
I don't know who his name is.
I don't either. But I know that there's a story behind that, you know? So, that's dope, man. Like, that's – hopefully he got something more than just, like I deserve this. No, you earned it.
Yeah. And I think everybody would say that the attitude of I earned it is far better. Something changed in the kid, though. And I'll tell you what I think it was. Clearly, they got their ass kicked against Montebello. He came back. And they did that whole bull in the ring where you got one guy. If you don't know football, the whole team lines up in a circle. One kid goes in the middle, and everybody's chopping up their feet. Everyone's chopping up their feet. No, you can't do that. They don't let you blindside hit anymore. Technically, I don't even think you're supposed to do that bull in the ring thing, but whatever. For those that don't know football, whole team's in a circle. One guy's in the middle. Everybody's kind of chopping their feet. Coach calls out a player. You know, Richard. Richard runs in. I'm in the middle. We square up, and we just hit each other. You know, it's to teach good hits and to just get that feeling of getting cracked. And you'd be surprised. You would think the bigger kids would always just nail the little kids. But it doesn't always work that way. Some little kids can just pop. So RJ was in the middle. He had his turn. He did well. A lot of times I noticed that he'll go in for the hit and other people will try. They'll slide off each other. It's a little bit of both of your faults. So he's done. They took the tallest, biggest kid. They put him in the middle. And he's hitting kids, which surprised me. This kid's never been put on the ground before. RJ comes, and I don't know what it was. I think it was like, I'm going to get you back for taking my spot. RJ had already earned it back, but it was kind of just like one of those, I'm going to keep this in the back of my head things.
Yeah.
RJ laid into him, and this kid laid into RJ. It was probably the best hit that I've heard in that ring. You heard the plastic smack, and they both fell. Everybody's screaming, great time. They both get up. RJ goes back. Later on in practice, he gets a sticker. He comes off the field. He's like, so-and-so put me on the ground. And I looked at him. I went, he was on the ground. And he goes, what? I go, you guys hit each other and you both fell. The difference is he's never touched the ground before. Like, he's so big that nobody has been able to put him down. But you did. And I don't know if he carried that to Sunday's game. Because did you watch that little clip?
Yeah, I watched it.
He's pushing kids 15 yards away from the play. Kind of pointless when the play goes to the other side and it's a fumble. But
whatever. He did his job.
I looked and I went, who the fuck is this kid? Like,
confidence is key, bro.
Something happened.
It's confidence. That's exactly what it is.
And it's like, okay. Like Yvette said, okay, boy, I see you. Like, all of a sudden.
Now, unfortunately, this is the problem with confidence is overconfidence.
Yes.
So it's just like, it's a constant fucking back and forth between building them up, breaking them down, building them up, breaking them down. But that's dope, man. I mean, honestly, like, the fact that he's at a point mentally where I'm sure when he first started, he felt and looked lost, to now he knows what he's doing to an extent and can stand there with the big boy. Like, he may not be better than them, but he can stand there with them. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be a liability.
And I think that's one of those, that's a line that when you're child, or even, you know, look, I know Scarlett and Drew have a birth father, and I'm not taking anything away from him, but you're helping, you're part of that family, you're an also dad. Like, this is also my dad. Yvette is also mom. There's always that don't be the liability. Like, fuck, just don't be the reason they lose. To watch them be one of the reasons why they're winning or even in a competitive contest. To watch him start to, for me to watch RJ feel more comfortable tapping the guy next to him, going like, scoot over. You know, I see it from the sidelines. He's talking with somebody and he's pointing at defensive players. You got him. I got him. If he goes here, we'll go there. Get down in their stance and boom, they're hitting people. It's satisifying. You're proud. I don't know there's a better way to put it. You know, the video that I put at the end, he just got that fist bump. Like the little boy that was on Drew's team.
Yeah, when he hit the ball. That was fist so cool, bump. Man.
Like
when he caught the ball. I'm sorry, no, he caught the ball.
He caught the ball. He got his first, the first time he didn't make an error.
Yes.
Like he caught the ball. He got the out. Fist bump. Like you felt it. Like, yes. RJ, the play, whatever. He's got the fist bump. You know, that was the point after touchdown that they needed. They ended up losing the game, but without that, it's pointless. You're fucked. Got it. He's walking off the field like, okay. To watch him come off the field and be tired. You know, there are the kids that go in. They'll run that one play on kickoff. They'll come out and they're not tired. Like, they don't need water. RJ's coming off and they're like, you know, pouring water on him because he's just beat. He's
exhausted, yeah.
And he played, Rich, I think he, out of all of the plays in the game, he might have been out for 10.
Which is probably what it was for
somebody else.
Other kids to play those 10 plays.
They needed to get their plays in.
Well, next year should be interesting because I'm assuming there's not going to be two teams for his age group.
There's not two teams now.
Oh, there isn't? I thought there was a blue, a gold, and a maroon team or whatever.
That's the younger division.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, because if there was two teams, they were going to combine them, and then they had more competition at that point.
Yeah. And after the game, after the loss, came up to me, coach came up to me and said, hey. Actually, it was the team mom. Team mom comes up and says, he only needs to lose a pound, and they could take the X off his helmet. He could play whatever position, any position. I said, all right, we'll work on it. Went to the coach. I go, where would you guys want to use him? And he goes, coach goes, I don't know. He's one of our best linemen, so he could probably still play on the line. But if he's a little lighter, he might be a little faster. Okay, like, what do you guys want me to do? If it's not going to matter, I'm not going to push him.
It's 1 pound, though.
He'll lose a pound.
And then probably make it.
It'll take him 3 or 4 weeks, because you can't lose a pound overnight.
You actually can.
No.
Yes, you can.
You can't drop weight at all. Once you're a weight, that's it. Right?
No.
I can't. I don't know anybody who loses weight.
You can lose 1 pound overnight.
Nobody loses weight.
Everybody loses weight.
So, yeah, he can lose a pound. He can make the weight. But it's like, coach, what do you want to do? Coach's like, I'm probably going to use him in the same spot.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I get it. Yes, there's not really.
Oh, no. I'm not saying. I don't even think. I mean, personally, at this point.
With one game left?
I would. What does it matter?
What does it matter?
I would just tell him to live his life normally and
do it. Yeah. Just keep
working. Unless he wants the X off just to say he had it off.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's kind of like, all right.
He's probably going to stretch next year. He's probably going to maybe he can start working on his hands. Maybe he could be a tight end. He could still be blocking tight end.
God, he can't catch for shit.
No.
Dude, he was when he did the center, they tossed the ball back to him. He's got my hands. I couldn't catch for shit. They tossed the ball back. Quarterback tossed the ball back to him. He goes, thump. He just bounced and rolled. And the coach reached down, picked up the ball, and goes, here. Handed it to him. It was like, all right, he's a lineman. He also had lineman gloves on, right? So,
yeah, okay. I guess.
All right. They're they're really padded. Like they have big pads.
Yeah, yeah. So when they hit them.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe, but probably not.
Probably not. Huh?
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what? Talking about the evolution, right? Like that from the start of our conversation about this, not today, but just in general with, you know, about
like
RJ's journey of football and you working with him. I mean, you should feel proud, man. Like that's like, that's a huge step for him in so many ways. Like I said, he went through adversity. He went through failure and possibly thinking he wasn't good enough and then not knowing enough and having to compete against kids that had been doing it for 3 or 4 years.
Like, yeah.
That was one of Scarlett's,
obstacles.
Like, she was cautious about it because, like, she was, like, or worried, I should say, like, everybody on my team's played for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, so? Like, who cares? Well, one of the things that I did talk to Marco about is they have like it's called the select team, and they'll pick the best players from the four teams, and then they'll be like Pico Rivera's select team, and they play other cities, right?
Kind of like an All-Stars?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I was like, Scar, like...
That's your goal. Yeah.
Not even that's your goal, but now we're here. I've seen all four teams.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Truthfully, if you just wanted to play defense, you would easily be the best defender.
Do they have to go in at that at each position? Is it like NBA where you're chosen by position?
No, or is it I think just it's just best. But what I'm saying, though, is she's the best defender in the league now.
Yeah.
Now. Okay, so if she could just make the team by just playing, there are other girls that are better on offense. They just are. She's not there. She's not at that level, right?
I don't think that's an insult. I think it's just, it is what it is.
Like, yeah, it's fine.
But it's expected.
I hope she makes a team. That would boost her confidence. So, I mean, her first year playing and she makes like a quote unquote all-star team. Like,
how many kids do they take from each team? Or is it just the best?
No, I just think it's just the best.
Okay, so one team might have 6 girls. I yawned and I'm like crying now. One team might have like half their team go, and then there's 2 from each.
Yeah, maybe. Whatever. I mean, whatever the case may be. But I'll tell you this: when we were leaving that game that you went to, I think you were with me when we were walking by. We saw the coach from the team.
Yes.
And we were like, "Hey, good game, coach. You know, whatever." And he's like, "Oh, number 6.
Yeah.
Hey." Good game. Like, great hustle out there.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to come at you next time. He recognized, like, he saw what she did to make their game more difficult and basically save the game for us.
Yeah, she really, yeah. Because that, there was a few times. There were 2 girls that were good on the opposite team that I saw.
Yeah.
One of them had a big C on her arm.
She was bad, dude. Honestly, she was fucking good. She scored like 4 goals against us the last time we played.
Just the fact when she kicked it, it went half the field. It was like, oh my God, that girl's good. And then they also had another little short girl that was also really good.
But that was the one that Scarlett kept bodying up, though.
Yeah.
She was fucking leaning into her.
Elbowing a little bit. Scar, you gotta mm-hmm. keep that tucked a little bit more. And after the game, yeah, we were there. And that's when we were talking about, hey, some of these coaches, they're like, hey, we're going to retain X girl, X girl, X girl. And we're talking, most of them keep their own kid.
Yeah.
And I said, I would never keep my kid. Go ahead, try and take him. I'm going to tell him to play like shit for you. It's a liability. You don't want him. I'm not going to waste a pick. When he wants to play for me, he won't play for you. After the game, the coach came up and was like, are you Scarlett's dad? And I go, no.
Like the coach on our team.
Yeah. Her coach was like, oh, are you? And I go, I've never fucking been here before. Like, why would you think? No, them. So coach was talking with you guys. And like you were saying, Scarlett's bodying up this girl playing defense. I told Scarlett, like, go dribble the ball. And I started just bumping into her as she's dribbling. And I said, just keep doing this. As I'm hitting her, you know, just like a, almost like a soft hockey check.
Yeah, like a nudge.
Just here, like, keep control. Can you keep control while I'm checking you? I go, that's a drill. I want you to work on that drill. Just keep doing that. Because when you're bringing that ball up, those girls are going to be elbowing you. They're going to be running into you. So get used to dribbling with somebody bodying up on you. I thought it was really cute. When I got there, I go, Scarlett, I didn't come all this way to see you play weak. I want you to play strong. And I went, and I put my arms up and I flexed. And she looked at me and she went, and put her arms down and just, I went, that's cute. Like, she's like, And I saw her play strong. I saw her play unafraid. A bit
lost.
A bit lost. Like, what is the proper play? Like, guys, spread out a little bit. You can drift this way, right? If you think of, if you want to make the correlation in football, when you're on one hash mark, you don't play it even. You kind of drift over a little bit, and vice versa. Guys, the ball's over here. You shouldn't be evenly spaced across the pitch. You can drift a little bit if the ball's all the way on one side, but you guys are all clumped up together, like spread out a bit. That's the one thing I saw them do a lot that was like, guys, spread out a bit.
Because if the ball gets out, not six girls right there, the other four have to play defense. Like,
well, you're all together, so
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If the ball gets away, you're fucked. There's nobody.
All their players are available to kick the ball.
Right, right, right. Yeah, oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, she played well, man. It was fun to go watch. It was fun to watch her play. Did they play in the rain last week?
It didn't rain.
Oh, it didn't rain.
It was
rain.
Just really it was muggy. Just muddy. It was just, no, muggy.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just overcast.
And was the field all fucked up with mud?
No.
Not too bad?
No, it wasn't too bad. Yeah, we'll see how it is this Saturday. She's actually at practice right now, or she was, I mean.
She finished up, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll probably finish up right now, too. We got...
Yeah, I'm
tired. A
little
bit of time. But, yeah, man, I best of luck. How many more games do you have? This is the last one?
No, I think like three or four.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't have them on my calendar. Okay, I need the info for them. This Saturday is RJ's last game. If they win, they make playoffs.
Oh, really? It's that important, huh?
Yeah.
Fuck.
So there is one scenario where if they lose, they could still make playoffs.
Is it like a coin flip?
No, there's another team that's ahead of them, but they only have three wins. RJ has four, but they have four wins, but how does it work? They have three wins, two ties. RJ has four wins. If they lose, they'll be 4-4. The other team would have three wins. They have three wins and two ties. But a tie is half a point. So right now they'd be tied.
They'd be like 4-3.
So if RJ loses, they have to lose.
Yeah.
But
it'll be a half a game ahead of them.
If they win and RJ loses, RJ's out. Because the I think at that point it'd be a full game. But because they have two ties.
Well, no. There'll be a half game because they'll only have three losses. Because if they're 4-4,
RJ's 4-4. Well, let's say
if they lose,
so it's
eight games total.
Yes. So the other team would be 4-3-2.
So they would have a less loss. So they'd be a half game ahead. I'm right. Just accept the fact that I'm right.
How do you calculate that? Like each win would be 1 point, each tie would be half a point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they'd be one game ahead.
Half a game.
No, they have two ties.
I understand that.
They'd have four wins, two ties. Wouldn't that be a full game ahead?
I think, well, I guess I'm... Oh.
I'm right.
Maybe you are. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They have to wait.
They have four games left. So this weekend and then three.
Oh,
they have
to, okay, send me this. I don't know why, but I only have... Oh, wait, maybe I don't. Hold on.
Well, the good thing is their game's at 11:45, so hopefully I'll be able to see some of the fights.
I don't have anything for Scarlett past. Like, I'm looking at the 29th. I don't have anything. I don't have it.
Yeah, she plays until...
Wait, does she have a game on the 29th?
Yes. Okay. Oh, no, she doesn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, wait, because I have one on the 5th also.
On the 5th?
November 5th. Remember the 5th of November.
Yes, and that's a day after Ryan's birthday.
Yeah. Would you please at some point fucking watch V for Fit? You know what? Friday.
I can't watch it Friday.
What are you doing?
Jackson's has a doubleheader, and okay. We haven't seen any of his games, so we have to go.
Okay, next Friday. At some point. You know what it is? At some point, Yvette and I are going to come over. We're going to watch the movie. Like, that's the only way I'm going to get you to watch
the 29th is a city event, which I think is Halloween.
Gotcha. I have her on the 5th.
Yeah, and then the 12th.
I have her on the 12th.
Three games total, sorry. And then playoffs.
I don't have anything on the 19th for her.
No.
Okay.
That's the last game is the 12th.
That's also the Backyard Boys trade deadline, the 19th, by the way.
I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Sorry, brother.
It's all good. You know what's sad is I really like my team.
You did.
I still do.
Oh, shit.
I look at my team and I'm like, fuck.
I can't make the 12th.
Well, that's fine. No big deal.
But we will be there for the 5th of November. All right, brother. Listen, we got to get out of here.
Till next week.
Peace.
Later, guys.